Mas não tem minha barba.
Let's see, next talk is on the ninth, right?
The other around the coffee pot towards someone's there.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. Let's see, it's just about 10 o'clock. We're going to give everybody another minute or so to gather together and then we'll get started. Sure, many of you are staying home nice and warm.
That's fine. That's fine. Sorry, I'm doing my phone. Can I get it for you? I would love to. I like stairs.
So sweet.
No, I'm serious. I'm like, let me go get something. I'll get what I can try.
Okay, I guess we can get started. Thanks, Mara. For those of you who are here in person, it's usually a little bit warmer, but
Yeah.
it's sometimes a guessing game. And for those of you who might be new, either in person or online, for the last, I don't know how long it's been, a couple of years, when we started doing Paul Selig's work. The last couple of years, anyway, we've been doing. Following some books written by the channel Paul Selig. And they're all basically about spiritual awakening, about getting in touch with your higher consciousness. So, our regular format is to read a little bit from the book, comment, question, enhance, and hopefully walk away being somewhat fulfilled. So you're more than welcome, either in person or online. I know some of you have been online for more than a couple of years since we did the COVID thing. And some of you have decided to stay home in your pajamas, which is perfectly okay. So let's take a minute. Just allow yourself to get grounded and centered. However, you do that for yourself. Becoming aware on a conscious level that you are more than your body, you are more than your mind, you are more than your emotions. And even beyond those things, you are a unique expression of divine consciousness. You don't have to know how that's true, you just need to know that it is true. You are a unique expression of divine consciousness. And just imagine what it would be like if we could carry that consciousness with us into our normal everyday living. And not only realize that each one of us is an expression of divine, unique expression of divine consciousness, but so is everybody else. No matter what it might appear on the outside, everyone and everything is a unique expression of divine consciousness. So we're going to begin today's study. The bottom of page 324. So some of you I know have books you can read along, and if you don't have a book, you can just listen. Begins by saying, this is catastrophic to your minds. What they're saying is to be able to let go of our ego consciousness, who is what we think we are sometimes. To let go of that seems catastrophic to the thinking mind, the intellect, which is also a tool of the ego consciousness and the ego itself, because it thinks, my God, if you separate myself from you, or you declare that this is not my identity, then I'm going to die. The ego doesn't realize that it dies all the time, but it comes back to life again, right? Pretty soon afterwards. So even when you have a process of a very deep surrender in your life, which is comparable to what some spiritual teachers would call an ego death, it kind of disappears for just kind of a split second, and the divine light shines through. Very soon after that, the ego kind of wakes up again and says, boy, that was a tough trip. Let's get back to normal. Let's get back to me being in charge. Now, this is catastrophic to your minds. What a terrible thing to be asked to do, to relinquish the egoic self. We just had a little accident. We'll be back in a moment.
This is not quite to him.
Oh, okay. Hang on, everybody. For those of you at home, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt. We had a little piece of glassware break, so we're just cleaning up. We could say that's the ego taking charge again. Just be careful. To keep this very practical, can you recall a time in your life when you were essentially detached from your identification with your ego? Didn't have to be a long period of time. Could be could be looking into a little baby's eyes. Could be getting an unexpected gift from somebody, not even a material gift. Could have been part of the surrender process in relieving yourself of an addiction, at least for a time being. Could be a moment of prayer. Could be a moment of grief. could be a moment of understanding. Ah. And then you try to grab a hold of it, and it's like smoke, right? And then you, because you can't grab a hold of it, it's immaterial, it comes from here. So as we read this morning, or as we go through this morning, I'd like you to keep in mind that there probably are moments in our lives where we have experienced those ego-less states of mind. Could be listening to music is a great one, especially classical music. Kind of getting lost in it. Time kind of disappears. It's what Joseph Campbell referred to as following your bliss. And Bill Moyers asked him, what are you talking about when you say follow your bliss? He said, it's when time disappears. In other words, I become so absorbed in whatever it is that I'm doing, whether it's gardening or cooking or watching a movie or drawing or painting or listening to a piece of music, whatever it might have, I become so absorbed in that particular piece of information that I lose track of time. And I am not identified with my ego consciousness at all. I'm just there. I am sitting in the presence. And what's really interesting is it's not you saying to yourself, well, I'm sitting in the presence. It's you are being in the presence. As soon as you start saying to yourself, well, as soon as you pop into the observer, okay, you're not in that timeless state anymore. You're someplace else. Not a bad place. So I'm just suggesting as we move through this lesson this morning that you become aware of your own experiences with egoless consciousness. In other words, pieces of time or place or circumstance where you are not locked into this limited, separate identity of who we thought we were. What a terrible thing to be asked to do, to relinquish the egoic self. But you don't understand what it means. It's not a sacrifice. That's why it's called an illusion, because it's not who you are. I'm just letting go of what I'm not, if I can use that sort of Alice in Wonderland terminology. It's not a sacrifice. You're not losing anything. But you are gaining everything in this exchange of identity. Who is it you really are? We do not render you helpless. We render you aligned to the divine as you. In other words, you are a unique expression of divine consciousness. No matter what you might think, no matter what you might feel, no matter what might be going on in your outside world. The sacrifice you make, you see, is the self, the false self, the fear-based self. That is who you offer. I am letting go of who I thought I was. I am letting go of what other people said, told me I was. I am opening myself up to a deeper truth. And when I say that, or when I commit to that, try not to get attached to what you think that deeper truth is supposed to look like. Because that's, again, that's kind of the small self trying to figure out what the higher self is all about. Kind of paradoxical, but when you are in higher consciousness, you're not claiming that as being the truth. You know that's the truth. It's like Carl Jung was once being interviewed by a radio announcer. And the announcer asked him, he said, do you believe in God? And he said, no. And of course, that left the poor guy up in the air. He wasn't sure how to respond to that. Carl Jung answered, he said, I don't believe in God. I said, I know. It's part of my awareness. It's part of my truth. I might not be able to explain that to you. So to make it practical for us this morning is there have been moments in our lives when we knew and were grounded in the truth of who we are. We don't necessarily stay there. There's always going to be some sort of distraction that's going to come in every once in a while. But there are moments in our lives when we just know. And all of those times are reinforcements of the truth of who you are. This is the time, my friends, for the next stage of initiation. The fact that you're here just here in person, either by electrons or are present in person in this room. You made a commitment, you made an effort, you made an opening to be closer aligned to the truth of who you are. This is the time, my friends, for the next stage of initiation. In fact, what you're going to be asked to do is to forget yourselves. And we use the word forget intentionally. The forgetting of the self as she has been, as he has known himself, will align to the washing away that will occur. When you say forget yourself, you're saying forget about your attachment to your ego consciousness. It's not who you are. It never was who you are. This is almost a meditation. So if you want to, you can just close your eyes as I read this paragraph and sort of get a sense of how it's speaking to you. Paul, who is the channel, Paul is perceiving an ocean tide washing the body, carrying the body out to the great sea, where it is rejoining itself with the material being that it has named itself, I am here, the presence of the divine. The material being that you are becomes the vessel, the sacred vessel of this incarnation. Yes, it goes to the store. Yes, it goes to the toilet. Yes, it needs things in order to withstand the fields of exchange that she encounters every day. But the vehicle itself has been transported to unity, to its causal being, to its first created light, I am here. The image that I've used fairly often here with some similar kind of language is that we go through sort of through an evolutionary state of mind. When we are born, when you look in the little baby's eyes, you know that they know. They can't say that they know, but they know that you know that they know. And then they will enter into a place of forgetfulness. They will enter into a space where everybody is telling them who they are, and they'll start to believe them because there's no other place to go, right? When your church and your school and your parents are telling you who you are, who do you object to? Most of us don't. Now, some people do. But most of us, I got lost in that trap. So it took me a while to realize that I was trapped in an illusion of who I thought I was. So we all go through that. And then something happens in our lives. Could be a death in the family, it could be a sickness, could be an addiction, could be something really, really simple, but it strikes us as being important. Something shifts our consciousness just a tad. And we start asking ourselves in some ways, is that all there is? Am I just what people have told me I am? Or is there something more to this whole process that I don't completely understand with my intellect? And once that question gets asked, once that door opens, there's more and more and more, I don't want to call it information because that sounds, there's more and more experience of higher consciousness that seems to flow through until we become aware that I have an ego and I have a personality, part of my vehicle here on planet Earth. It's like a car. You don't think your car is who you are. Your car is the vehicle that takes you from one place to another. That's a good thing. And so your ego and your personality are ways of relating to the external world. They're not who you are. They're a good thing, they're not a bad thing, but they're not who you are. And once I begin to realize that, well, if that's not who I am, what am I? And then somebody comes along and says, I tell you, I will let you know. You decide this for yourself. I'll give you some words, and you decide whether it's true for you or not. That instead of your ego and your personality being the truth of who you are, they actually become the unique lens through which the divine light shines through. It will never be this configuration of ego and personality self will never be repeated again, like a snowflake. Right? It's totally unique and will never be repeated. Not in the next lifetime or the next lifetime or the next lifetime, you believe in that. But right now, at this particular moment, your ego and your personality are still alive and well, but instead of being a definition of who you are, they become the unique lens through which the divine light shines through. So when Thomas Merton was standing on the corner of 4th and Walnut, and he began to see everybody around him as being beings of light, he didn't just see these globs of light, right? He also saw each one of those beings of light as being a unique expression of divine consciousness. And what was so beautiful about that whole process is the only way he could see them as beings of light is if he saw himself that way too. And so if you have a problem seeing anybody else as the unique expression of divine, no matter who they are, stop for a minute and say, what am I not seeing in myself that's getting in the way of me seeing you as an expression of divine light? Even though I don't understand that, I'm still working on that one. But when you forget yourself, small self, you open the channel up to recognizing the higher consciousness that you truly are. I'm going to do that paragraph again because I think it's sort of the meat, not only of today's lesson, but of a lot of the lessons that have been taught so far. Paul is perceiving an ocean tide, washing the body, carrying the body out to the great sea, where it is rejoining itself with the material being that has named itself, I am here, the divine consciousness. I was going to give you a Star Trek example, but I don't think you'd, most people might probably wouldn't identify with. I'll say it anyway real quickly. If you're familiar with Star Trek, there was a spinoff called Deep Space Nine.
And I love Star Trek.
It brought into mind this whole new set of beings who were non who had a separate identity, but also had this identity of being part of everyone and everything. And they called it being part of the link. And as they entered the link, what happened was their physical body would just disseminate, and they would become part of this whole entire higher consciousness. And then when they decided it was time to incarnate or time to get back into the material world, they would put on this body again and become a little bit of a separate being, but never losing complete contact with the link that they were part of. Perfect example of what we're talking about. Yeah.
Now that you've mentioned a movie, I just can't pass this opportunity. Because the past several weeks, rather than Star Wars, I feel like I'm on the deck of the Titanic, and I'm right there with those playing the violins. And, you know, one side saying, oh, we're going up the mountain. The other was saying, you're going down with the ship. Now get with it. So... I'm really torn. There are days I think, Linda, get your head out of the sand. You know, this is reality. And then other times I think, well, okay, or whatever. But lately I've just kind of seen myself there on the Titanic by those of playing the violins with, whatever.
No, and Linda, in some ways that's really true, okay? Now, what the ego does is rearranges the furniture on the deck, all right? But what the higher self realizes is that there are all sorts of ways of, how did Jesus put it? Unless the grain of wheat fall to the ground and die unto itself, it shall not live. That's exactly what they're talking about here about forgetfulness, forgetting, letting go of who you are not. And so, yes, we live in a paradoxical state where we are in the world, but not of it. And there are some times when we are going to be exactly in that place of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic or getting sucked. One side playing the violins and the other going, where's my life preserver, okay? That's perfectly normal, part of the process. The thing about it is to recognize that I can take a step back from all of that and say, this is what's going on with my, this is a challenge, or what do I call it here? Catastrophic. This is a catastrophe to my thinking mind. And maybe it is. But with all the times in our lives when we have experienced an ego death in one way or another, it's always come back. And so I don't expect it not to be a struggle sometimes, but it doesn't have to be. See, that's another piece of my learning anyway. How'd the Course in Miracles put it? There will come a time when you will find, you will discover that you can learn through joy rather than through pain. I'm not there yet. Still working on that one. Not that I'm so enamored of pain, but it's really kind of interesting that the ego and the personality are kind of seductive in that way. And they think that's the only way you're going to be able to grow. That's the only way you're going to be able to learn, by beating yourself over the head. And which is not true. But so for me anyway, it's easy to get caught up in that because I've been caught up in that for a while. You become the vessel, the sacred vessel of this incarnation. Yes, you go to the store. Yes, you go to the toilet. It needs things in order to withstand the fields of exchange that it encounters every day. In other words, you gotta function in the world. So you don't call up your boss on Monday morning and say, well, I'm in a higher state of consciousness, so I'm not coming in today. I mean, you might be tempted to do that, right? So would I. And in some ways, it's the truth. But how, as Dr. Seuss said, life's a great balancing act. So in other words, how do I do that? And sometimes it takes a while to figure that out. And once you figure that one out, there's going to be another one to figure out, which is okay. That's part of our growing. That's part of our learning. But the vehicle itself has been transported to unity, to its causal being, to its first created light, I am here. In other words, the vehicle now becomes the unique lens through which the divine light shines through. And you can see that in little baby's eyes. And sometimes you can see it in older people if they stop getting too grouchy. I can remember, this was years ago, after Ram Dass had his stroke, and he was visiting Louisville, he was doing a lecture, and Margot and I got a chance to see him, talk to him, and I was wondering, since I had seen him a couple of years before when he was really much more vibrant than he was at that particular moment, of whether or not I was going to feel somewhat depleted or sad or whatever might happen to be. But all I had to do was look at him. And it was almost like these little baby's eyes were looking back at me. But instead of a child, instead of a baby who knows but doesn't know that he knows. Here's a being who knew, who knows, but also knows that he knows. And it was really kind of a, it was a wonderful moment of awakening for me at that moment. The renunciation of the small self precludes the return of innocence. In other words, it opens you up to the truth of who you are. The renunciation of the life that has been lived until this day is the claim of innocence in requirement. How is this done, he asks? By putting yourself, your entire self, upon the altar of sacrifice. They use the image of an altar quite often here. And what I've discovered for myself, and again, this is my take on it, it doesn't necessarily have to be yours, is that we're referring to an altar, which is kind of a bridge between my human consciousness and my divine consciousness. It's where that exchange of energy sort of takes place. So when I decide to forget my lower self or let go of it, or I bring all of my ego and my personality to the altar to be cleansed, to be healed, to be let go of. And I place it on the altar as best I possibly can. In other words, I pass it over into divine consciousness. And from that moment, it can be transformed. We can do that with anything. Let's suppose there's a healing you're looking for in your life, and you're trying all of the methods you can possibly try. Say, well, none of those seem to be working the way I want them to. Well, maybe I need to let go. Maybe I need to surrender. Sacrifice and surrender. By the way, sacrifice is not a bad thing. The root meaning of sacrifice means to make holy, to make sacred. It's not about getting rid of something. It's not about beating something to death. It's not about hurting something. It's about making something sacred. How do I make my ego and my personality? How do I bring that to a sense of sacredness, which I can do? I don't do that with my thinking mind, but I do that by letting go of the meaning that I've given it before, saying there must be more to my ego and my personality than what I'm thinking. By putting yourself, your entire self, upon the altar in sacrifice. That a real silly idea. Remember that thing called the hokey pokey? Put your whole self in, put your whole self out. Put your whole self in. By putting yourself, your entire self, upon the altar of sacrifice, putting your whole self in. Now, you misuse the word sacrifice as a negative. Oh, they're catching up with me already. But here what you're doing is respecting the self, the divine self, to withstand change. And upon this altar you lie upon, you're gifted with the most remarkable expression you may ever know. The creator as you will hold you in her fist, in his open hand, in this gift, to be raised to fullness to all the light that is. We are supporting you now. You who have taken on the garment and said yes to what may be. A lot of biblical imagery there. Jesus used the image of a wedding garment quite often. Wedding garment being a symbolic symbol or a metaphor for higher consciousness or being open to higher consciousness. The wedding part of things is aligning yourself or connecting yourself to divine consciousness. As I mentioned right in the beginning this morning, I wonder what it'd be like if we could take that consciousness with us all day long. And even as Linda was speaking about that, laughing about some of the funny stuff that comes up, some of the way somebody put it to me was, it's called sometimes that when we laugh at the paradoxical nature of things, sometimes referred to as the cosmic chuckle. It's when you realize how absurd it is to keep holding on to the things you're holding on to. And you will forget that. And you will remember again. Let's see. It has a spot for meditation here, so I'm going to make this part of our meditation this morning. We'll come back to the book if we have time. But for now, I'm going to ask you to put it down. Just close your eyes, take a couple of breaths. In your mind's eye, we would like you to imagine that there is an altar, a table, a link between the divine and the human. All around the altar are all the gifts of the kingdom: joy, peacefulness, compassion, love, freedom. The knowing of the self is worthy of love and union with the source of our being. I am aligned to the higher consciousness. I am one with the Father, with the Mother God. I am at peace with myself and all beings. There is nothing getting in the way of the truth of who I am. As we see you there, we invite you to release the expectations that you may hold and take your own place upon this altar. Here are the words that you may speak if you choose this. On this day, I declare my reunion with the great I am, and I offer all aspects of my life to be in reunification with the truth of who and what I am in my expression. I align in my willingness. I lay down my hands in offering, and in my choice to be, I give permission to the Creator to lift me high in his hands, in her hands, to the knowing of what I am. Very gently allow yourself to get in tune with the sacredness of this moment. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to understand it. Just be with it. And if there is someone in your life who you sense is in need of healing, you can gently invite them into this space. Let them choose whether they decide to be part of it or not. But notice what happens as you open your heart in compassion to another being. How compassion cannot be just given to one being, but to all beings. No exceptions. I cannot be compassionate for one without being compassionate for another. I cannot be compassionate for another without being compassionate towards myself. Deep breath. Stretch a bit. You can open your eyes when you're ready. The freedom you hold in your field is being lifted to its own expression. The identity you claim as you are is being released to its fullness, the fullness expression of divine truth, and it informs your knowing of what you are. The claim, I am here, rings through your field forever and forever and forever because it is an eternal claim. Don't try to understand that with your mind. Allow the energy behind those words kind of sink into your being. It's the divine consciousness saying, I knew your face before you were born. I am always with you no matter what's going on in the outside world. I can never be apart from you. I hold you in the palm of my hand. Always. The Christ as you, the divine as you, rises now from this altar. She is lifted, she is lifted. She is lifted to her soul's purpose. And as she stands before us, as he stands before us, he sees the mountain before him. Rise, rise. You are being lifted now high up the mountain. And your field is acclimating to all that exists there. We are pleased for your progress. And as we say these words for you now, you are here, you are here, you are here. You claim the kingdom. When we return, we will support you in change, the reclamation of innocence to your true self. The freedom to be expressed in this way is yours, you see, as you have aligned to it. We thank you for your presence. We'll stop now, please. Now, what does all that mean to your everyday life? I mean, it's nice to be able to take an hour or so, 45 minutes or so out of the tumultuous chaos of the world outside. Saying, well, this kind of feels like a safe place, feels like a sacred space, feels like a quiet space, feels like a peaceful space. So I think we'll come in there. And then we walk out the door. And you get blasted away by whatever it is blasting away out there. Okay. So how do I take that with me? I know I've shared this experience before, but it seems to fit again, so pardon my repetition. I was living in a little carriage house apartment off Douglas Boulevard. Love that little place. And I was having a little bit of a difficult time. I was sort of on the edge of a depression. which is sort of par for the course for me sometimes. And I think I was playing my guitar. And the thought struck me, I wonder what God thinks about me. So I said, well, I think I'll ask him. Not the masculine God, but they had to have some gender to connect it to it. I think I'll ask God. God, what do you think about me? And then I thought to myself, maybe I shouldn't have asked. All right, I get something back that I don't want. But it was really interesting. It was one of those prayers that was answered almost immediately. And it wasn't that the heavens opened. I didn't hear voices or anything, but the words that came to me were very simply, you are my son and I love you. And I started crying. And then what happened was my ego jumped in. It didn't die. It disappeared for a couple minutes. Jumped back in and said, oh, you just made that up. And I almost bought it. I almost said, yeah. I probably did make it up. But then there was another energy there that said, look, you're good at making things up, but you're not that good. Right? That was such a perfect answer to your prayer. It came from outside of your human consciousness. So I still had a choice of whether buying into whether I made it up or not. But it was so insistent. That energy was so insistent that this is the truth of who you are in this particular moment. That I let that become part of me. Never forgot that moment. I lost track of it occasionally. I'm sure there have been moments in your life when you have known or come in contact with or aligned yourself with the presence or the gift of the kingdom of who you truly are. I don't think you'd be here unless you experienced that some way or another in your lives. So I guess what I'm encouraging us to do is to, it's not a trip down memory lane. Oh yeah, I remember that happened. That was nice. It's getting in touch with the experience of that. That was a moment in my life when I was aligned to the Spirit of God, or I was aligned to the power of compassion, or I was aligned with the love that the truth of who I am. And get yourself back, because the experience is alive within you. Experience is not governed by time. It's outside of time. So those experiences of divine consciousness that we've had are outside of time. The energy of them are still there. It still exists inside you. And so it's taking a moment maybe out of your life today, saying, yeah, I remember that. I remember that in my mind. But what was that like what was the energy like when I was aligned to that truth? And you will find it's still there. No matter who or what it might have been connected with, it's still present. So what I'm suggesting is, and I'm suggesting this for me as well, when you walk out that door, that you don't forget your alignment with the divine consciousness or your unique expression of the divine consciousness that you are. You might forget, you might lose track, you probably will lose track of it. But the experience of that will always be there. And I would encourage each one of us to get in touch with those experiences every once in a while. They're still alive within you. And they give you the opportunity to recognize on the deepest level you can the truth of who you are. So I have a choice. I can buy into identifying with my consciousness as an ego and a personality. Or I can say, I have an ego and I have a personality. They're part of who I am, part of my vehicle, but I'm not my vehicle. I'm not my car. My personality and my ego consciousness are vehicles that take me, that allow me to relate to other people on planet Earth, but it's not a definition of who I am. Who I am is a unique expression of divine consciousness. And I can allow or open myself to letting everyone and everything speak to me that way, whatever it might happen to be. Some of those things that speak to us are going to be rather challenging. Some are going to be easy. It doesn't take away from the truth of who you are or the truth of who they are. So I'm just going to close with a very short meditation here. So I'm going to ask you to put your stuff down again. Take a couple of breaths. I know who I am. I am a being of love, joy, compassion, healing, peacefulness, strength. I am all of the above and more. And as this day unfolds, I will choose to align myself and identify with the higher consciousness that I truly am. And for that, I give thanks. Amen. 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 Deep breath. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Jerry. Have a safe trip.
Thank you, Jerry. Have a safe trip.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank
you,
love
guys.
You guys.
Yeah, love you too. Take care. See you soon.
But it's a town meeting. You think she's going to go to the town meeting? She didn't say anything, so let's put the chair back.